You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Jesus died on that cross, but he also rose. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. I'm just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove one day just what I say. I'm a special kind, because when he was on that cross, I was on his mind. And the love was on his face. Thorns were in his head. His blood was on the robe he wore. His hands were pierced and crimson red. Though his eyes were on that that day, he looked ahead in time. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And so were all of you. And he knew me. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. I'm so unworthy of such a yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
I'll probably, yeah. I'm trying to get Brother Johnny to get escalator there. This past weekend, we had a kind of a semi-reunion on a football team I played with a long time ago. And we get together, started doing this about 7 or 8 years ago. We didn't have our 50th reunion because we were afraid some of us wasn't going to live long enough, so we had the 48. But now we did. That's honest truth. Because one of the coaches had already died, and they were both in bad shape, and since then they're both gone, and some of the other guys. But here were a bunch of old men that used to play ball, and you can capitalize used to. You know, you get to a certain age, when you stand up, you're not sure which direction you're even going to go. You just, man, and I remember when I started losing hair on top, and then it started growing out my ears and out my nose. And I was getting a haircut. And I'd known this lady a long time, and I said, "I'm getting kind of bald back there." So I said, "You know anything that would help that?" And she said, "No, but it looks like whatever you're using on your ears is working real good." I never went back to her. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that's kind of on my heart in this day and time. I just want to talk to you about find out what works and keep it. Because we're into a bunch of change all the time. If you'd like to follow us, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17 for a little bit anyway, and then we're going to look at some different scriptures. But if you don't have a Bible and would like to go to 1 Samuel 17, if you lift your hand, we'll get you a Bible. We got the same folks that brought you a blue card. We'll get you a Bible. And let me say this for you. If you don't have a Bible, just keep that one as a gift from the rec room. We would love for you to just do that. You need to have a Bible. You don't leave home without it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Yeah, we got some more here. We'll get some more down here. We're not out of Bibles, are we? We might, I believe we've got some more back there. Because I brought over a bunch of them. Yeah, we got some. Just, we'll get it. Hang tight. 1 Samuel 17, while we're doing it, let me give you a little background on this. The nation of Israel, who had Saul as their first king. And Saul was a big man. Saul was over 7 foot tall. He was head and shoulders, the Bible said. But other people, could get your hands up. Who need the Bible? Okay. And you got one on the front row here. All right. All right. 1 Samuel 17. But the nation of Israel was at war with the Philistines. And one was on one mountain, one on the other, and every day they'd start the war down in the valley. And they were fighting back and forth, and one of the Philistines, who was a giant, he made Saul look little. He was over 10 foot tall. Just got some pictures last week coming out of Greece where they found some skeletons of people that were giants, bigger than that even. It is amazing that they'd unearthed over there. But Goliath was his name. Many of you are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. And Goliath would come out and challenge anybody on Israel's side to fight him. He said, "We'll do it 1-1, and whoever wins, then we're the champion." But why involve the whole nation on each side in war? Well, that's pretty good if you're the biggest guy there. See? Now, as I read that, I thought about some good advice my daddy gave me. I didn't believe it for a while, but then I got to believing it. But my daddy told me, he said, "Doesn't make any difference, son, how tough you get, somebody smaller than you is going to whip you." And he was right. But Goliath would come out every day. Well, David is back home. David's a teenager. David's brothers are in this war. And David's daddy calls him in. He's been out there taking care of the sheep. Calls him in and he said, "Here's some things to eat. Here's some stuff. You take it to your brothers and see how the war is going." And so David did like daddy told him to do. And he headed there. And while he was standing there talking to his brothers, Goliath comes out and makes his announcement as he does every day. "Somebody come and fight me. If you can whip me, who's man enough to fight me?" Now, the only man that was big enough to fight him was Saul, but Saul's not about to get in that fight. And so David begins to question around. And his brother said, "Son, hush, you're just a kid." And he said, "Well, Philistine. What's he? That guy can't do God's people out of the way. Somebody ought to just whip him. And they said, you hush and get on back. Go back and take care of them sheep. You don't have any business here. Well, Saul, somebody tells Saul that somebody might be willing to fight this guy. And so Saul, he runs and gets him and then finds out he's a kid. But David said to him, look, said, man, they're not any use putting up with him. We're God's people. And he said, I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion that tried to get my sheep. I know how to fight. And Saul said, well, you really want to fight him? He said, yes, sir, I do. I'll stop that. God will take care of it. So Saul gave him his armor to put on. Now, imagine this. Saul is over 7 foot tall. He's giving David, a teenager, his armor. Now, this is the best armor money can buy. And that's where we want to pick up our story, because we're going to talk about, find out what works and keep it. So I want to begin in verse 33 here. And it said, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. Now notice this, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You know the rest of the story. David slew Goliath with a slingshot. Put a rock right through Goliath's helmet into his forehead. Killed him. Then went over and took Goliath's own sword, cut his head off. But notice the point, he fought him with something nobody else would have fought him with. But he said, I've not proved them. We're living, our nation today is being changed from the greatest, one of the greatest nations this world has ever known. For over 200 years, we were started with God, in God we trust, and we have just began to get away from that. We've got change on every side. For years we did well. We're the most prosperous nation in the world. Every man had an opportunity. This was the nation that a person could come out of prison and get rich. This was a nation that somebody with no education could climb to the top of the ladder. This was a nation that somebody that did not have all the knowledge and the ability could become wealthy, could become successful, could enjoy life at home. That is slowly leaving us. But if you look back over the years, we had a man come along that said, creation doesn't work anymore. It was evolution. He wanted to bring a change. Then a man come along by the name of Dr. Spock and said, you can't discipline those kids like that. And he said, here's how you raise them. And notice what we've raised. Take a look at that. We keep changing stuff from bad to worse, as it were. We've had all kind of people change. Freud come along and he said, no, it's not sin. He said, you probably was molested when you was a child, or you got some sexual problems. And Freud began to change the thinking of America. We've changed homosexuality, which the Bible calls an abomination, we've changed it to an alternate lifestyle. We've taken abortion, which is murder, and changed it to pro-choice. We keep making changes. We keep trying something. Jesus Christ today is being changed to just another religion, and a poor one at that. Jesus Christ no longer carries the worship, no longer carries the esteem, no longer carries what he once carried. People, but I'm an old man. But back when I was a kid, and sorry as I could be, but I can tell you this, around them bucking shoots, when they had word of prayer at rodeo, them old boys bowed their head. Now, they were wild, drinking and sorry and did everything in the world, but they had a knowledge of God and a certain respect for God. And they wanted that. They appreciated somebody praying for them, even though they were as lost as they could be. I worked in that oil patch. And people, as wild as they were, my dad was a driller. He had me on a drilling rig floor at 15 years old. And as wild as they had a respect for Jesus Christ. They was just that acknowledgement and that respect for Christ. Today, people could care less about him. They call him an imposter. You can, that's the one religion. Christianity is one religion you can't talk about. You can be a Muslim and talk about that. You can be a Hindu and talk about that. But you can't talk about Christianity and about Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. And notice that this is barely all that new. Because in Paul's time, there was a place called Mars Hill. Acts 17, and we're going to start with verse 18. Said, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? We're talking about Paul. Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Now listen to this. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. We want it to be new. Give me a new thing. The old way is getting tiresome. In fact, look at Jeremiah, if you will, back over in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Notice what Jeremiah says, and God says it. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we'll not walk therein. We're not going to do it. We have got, everything has got to be different. We're looking all the time for some kind of change. When I first started going to Big Spring Federal Prison, and Big Spring was 700 men that had a much better education than I did. They were white-collar, nonviolent inmates. They were bankers. They were accountants. They were attorneys. They were doctors. They were car dealers. They were successful people that stole a lot of money with ballpoint pens. They could do more than most people could with a .38. And they were in prison, but they were all very well educated. And that's the type of Bible class I walked into, and it's supposed to be a discussion, and we just had knockdown dragouts. Maybe, I know you couldn't call it debate, we just argued. It lacked for 2 years. Some guys would bring one guy brought six different Bibles to the Bible class. One guy would bring this one guy would have another one. We looked like a Chinese fire drill. I'm telling you. And I began to question. All through, I had listened, and I had no argument with anybody. If they said the Greek said this, I guess it did. I couldn't tell. I didn't know. The only Greek and Hebrew I knew, the Greek had a restaurant, the Hebrew had a clothing store. Basically, that's it. See? And that was all I knew about it. But these guys begin to push those things. They begin to talk about those things. And I begin to write big preachers, big name folks, to ask them, what book is the Word of God? Because we had a bunch. Do you know? I didn't know this then at that time, but since then, do you know that since 1880 to 2006, that's over 120-something, just 120-something years, there were 233 New English translations of the Bible. 233 of them. The guys would write me back. Many, some of them didn't respond, but most of them did. They were kind enough. Some of the magazines and things I was taking, some of the periodicals I was taking, I would write them and ask these questions. And let me tell you what. I found out that nobody had a book. I found two people that said their Bible was the Word of God in English out of all these folks I wrote. And as I begin to dig into this and ask more questions, I found out something else. Because in my mind, I figured somewhere in Jerusalem, under glass, was God's original Bible. In Greek and in Hebrew. Everybody's in here, if you've gone to church much, you've heard somebody say, in the original. And that's the biggest lie in the world. Because there ain't any. There's not one. There's no place you can find it. Also found this, that I found that the great Greek text that everybody was referring to has been revised 19 times. And finally one day, in my little old apartment over on Oakwood, I said, God, I've got to have some help. Because every time I began to read a verse, I thought, I wonder what it really says. I wonder if it really means this. Because something else I found out. They weren't all in Bibles weren't saying the same thing. Sometimes they just, boom. They contradicted one another. They ran right at one another. And we're off on something else. This is my belief. I accept this Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, as the Word of God in English. And let me tell you what. Since making that decision in 1988, I've never had to back down from it. It's proved itself. I've had people say, well, that's... Hey, you show me. I get letters all the time. We have Bible classes, correspondence courses out. Got a letter this past week from a guy. He said, I can't believe you checked this wrong. Because in the book of Acts, it talked about Easter. And he said, that can't be Easter. That was a pagan holiday. He said, it had to be Passover. That's the Greek word. And you said it's Easter. I said, no, I didn't say it's Easter. The Bible said it's Easter. I didn't write it. I was going to add first and second Leland, but they got it to print before I got that part in. But I said, if you will go back and look at your Bible, young man, you'll find that it's in the days of unleavened bread. He said, I'm going to wait till after. He said it was in the days of unleavened bread, and Herod was going to wait till after Passover to crucify Peter. Well, if it's in the days of unleavened bread, I'm sorry, he said not Passover, he said Easter. Everybody wants to say Passover. He said then after Easter, if it's in today's unleavened bread, Passover's over. Go back and read about Passover. You have the Passover and then 7 days of unleavened bread. So if they translate it Passover, which nearly all the new ones do, they're incorrect because they have missed the fact that that day's over. But Herod was a pagan king. And so a pagan holiday, Easter in this case, would fit him fine. He wasn't going to keep the Passover anyway. So, but the point I'm going to make is I don't have to change anymore. I don't have to wonder. I can still just see God has not changed. Malachi said, God changeth not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, because I believe that I got a Bible that will work in all times, I don't have to wonder about it. The night that I got the call that my youngest son got killed, I must have read 1 Corinthians 15:20 times. That's the book, that's the chapter on resurrection. And that chapter became real to me that night. I knew about the chapter. But I could put my faith and trust in this book. When I've knelt with people to tell them about Jesus Christ, and my Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I can tell them that with all confidence. I don't say you got to feel something, you need to tingle all over, you need to jump up and praise God, you need to walk, roll on the floor, you need to cry. No, all Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if that's not right, then I'm wrong. Hey, I put my faith and trust in this book. And you're going to need it come the days ahead. I'm telling you. Even in this story right here, you know, one of the main books, and I'm, y'all all getting mad if you want to, but one of the main Bibles, the NIV, is so smart that it said somebody else killed Goliath. It does. I can show it to you. Now, isn't that good? They will all contradict. Now somewhere, I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't go into a ball game with two rule books. And I sure won't play poker with you with two rule books. See, there's things. I don't want to take a drive. I got one book and the guy giving the test got another one. I want to find something solid, and God Almighty is the only one that's put anything solid in this world. He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us power. He gave us His Word. We can pray. We have got all these things that work. And we can depend on them, and we don't have to scratch our head and say, I don't know about this. I want someone else that I wonder if some new scholar comes along. He can tell me. We got folks sitting in this auditorium that the amazing grace of God reached down and saved. God, telling somebody the other day about Craig Smith. Here's a guy been down 4 times, 5 years, ADSEG. Why in the world would God save him? And God turned his life around. And anybody that knows him knows that. I see people every week. That's his mama. Right? And I remember the night I called up my mama. Tell her I'd got saved, and when she answered the phone, she said, what's wrong, son? Because the only time I'd ever called her at night was something was wrong. I said, Mama, let me tell you what happened. Thank God for Christian mamas. Now, she argued with me. I like never got her trained. I'd get so mad at her. But she prayed me. Greg got prayed right in heaven. Let me tell you, only God Almighty can do that. See, I see people. I talk to a little girl. I get a letter from my mama. I don't know the mama. She wrote me. She said, my daughter's in the county jail. She said she needs to be saved. She's good. She just needs to be saved. Would you go talk to her? Now, I don't know much. I can't help you with a lot of things. But you won't be saved. I'd help you with that. I'm going to tell you what, I can help you get to heaven. I can show you how to do that. Tuesday morning, I called her down to, we sat there in a room. And in the process, I said, anybody, I said, how old are you? She said, 24. We talked a bit, and I said, she said, well, I went to church this place one time, I went to church another place. I said, anybody ever tell you how to get saved, get to heaven? She thought a minute. She gave some. She said, no, sir. I said, let me ask you another question. I said, if you died right this minute, you go to heaven or hell? She said, sir, I guess I'd go to hell. I said, would you like to go to heaven? She said, oh, yeah. Tears began to roll down her cheeks. Now, let me tell you something. I like that. I like to see tears. But we went over that old plan, same thing that I went over 57 years ago for all his sin and come show the glory of God. God commendeth his love toward us, for yet sinners Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm glad we can do a lot of things in the rec room, but let me tell you something. That's the only reason, really, that we have it, is to try to get people to heaven. Oh, if we help get you a job, if we help get you an education, if we help get you all of the things you might need in this life, we've been a failure if we don't help you get to heaven. And we prayed. Little girl bowed her head. I said, she said, you want me to say? I said, you say what you want to say. And it's always amazing. My 9-year-old granddaughter did this. 9 years old, she began to confess her sins. You can't have a whole lot of sins at 9. But she started crying over sin. See, that's one of the marks. And that's what works. And I can say, God said, and I don't doubt that, and I don't care what's in the Greek. And I don't care what's in the Hebrew. But in this book, we can pray. We pray for people, and we've seen God heal people, and I've been one of them. We can have that. We believe in singing those old songs. I love the songs that we sing tonight. In a minute, we're going to do an invitation hymn. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll just stick with 3 or 4 of them, just as I am. Charles knows them. You know why? We proved them. We proved them. David said, I have not proved it. There's things we proved. Some of you, you know, go back to your day when you got saved. What was it with? We proved it. I was asking Johnny, because this song kept coming. I'm glad brain cramps don't hurt. But it was a chorus of a song. It kept coming back to me, but I couldn't get the name of the song. I asked Johnny, and Johnny, the man that he is, turned right to his wife and said, you know, and then Jolene. Johnny pointed to Jolene. I sat down. And the song is, oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust him over and over. How we proved him. Over and over. We prove. Over and over, we prove him. This armor won't fit. This is what I know. I have proved this. The prayer, the Bible, salvation, gospel, whether it's a stranger or a friend, it still works. You don't use something on a rich guy and something else on a poor guy. You don't use one message on a woman and another one on a man. What, one on religious people, one on lost people? It's the same old plan. God does it. Every day we prove it. prove him with, prove his love, prove his mercy, prove his words. Bible said in, said, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Nations will change. Affections will change. Friends will change. Attitudes may change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same view. He'll help you in your everyday life. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care how big it looks. He's there. That's why he came. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He didn't come to start a church. He did that in the process. That's not why he came. The Bible said he came to seek and save that which was lost. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's me, you, anybody, doesn't make any difference about your background. It's right now. We've proved him. You can prove him. I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. In a minute, we're going to have a short invitation. You say, Leland, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I were to die tonight, I'd not go to heaven. I have nothing that would get me to heaven. Would you pray for me? If you care enough, would you ask me to pray for you? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. I see your hand. I see yours. Yours. God bless you. Yes, your hand. Yes, God bless you. You can slip them up and put them down. God bless you. They're up all over the room. Anybody else? Real quickly before we pray. Right. God bless you. I see yours too. Anyone else? Real quickly. Now here's what I want you to do. Listen to me carefully. While I pray, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I've never been saved. I want to be saved tonight. I want to go to heaven. I want to know you. I don't understand all of it. All I know is I'm just going to surrender to you. I believe you died for me on the cross, that you arose again. I believe that. Would you save me tonight? I'm asking you to. Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I mean, while I'm praying, that's what I want you to pray. When I finish praying, what I want you to do is step out, come down to the front, and say, I want to be on Jesus' side. I'm surrendering to him. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know the ones that lifted their hands. Probably some that didn't lift their hands and should have. But Father, you still save me. We proved this over and over. And tonight, Father, I pray that you reach down and burden the hearts. And that right now that they're asking you to come into their heart. We turn this service over to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Head still bowed, eyes closed as Charles sings, would you come? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Come on. Come on. Come on, huh? Right here, we'll get somebody to help you. Yeah, go ahead. Come on, come on. Yes, sir. Come on, some others need to come. Come on. Roy. Come on. Come on. You started. Come on. You want to be saved tonight. Come on. Brother Johnny. Come on. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Would you come? Would you say yes to Jesus? Not to me, just to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm coming home. One more verse. anyone else. Come. Come on. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that come tonight. Thank you for those that lifted their hand. Father, we never see too much of this. Thank you for still saving souls. You proved it over and over for the men, for the women. And Father, I pray you'd help them. Help them to get in a good church. Help them to get around good Christian people. And we know this. You'll do that. They're yours. So Father, be with each of them. Thank you for this service, for the music, and for the attitude, and those that are here. In Christ's name we pray. Refreshment bar's open. Thank you for being here. Be sure and put your cards in the purple box. Pick up any of the literature you'd like to have. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.